Hello, friend. Well, this is it. The last episode of the Mogwai Minute, and nothing but the void looms on the horizon. The Abyss looks back, though, and that's actually quite comforting. Neil, what's next for you?
Oh, I don't know, George. Probably taking a nice long break like we did last time, and see what's going on. Well, I'm moving. I mean, I'm...
Yeah, you are doing that. You'll be setting up house in a whole new place.
Moving to London. Not sure if I've mentioned that on the show. But yeah, all this weekend, just moving all my stuff after 8 years in Hong Kong. Seems fitting, you know, we've wrapped up, you know, the home of the Mogwai. And we've wrapped up the show. So it seems, you know, I'm out. You don't need me here anymore, George.
It's like you're no longer we don't need you, the man on the field, the man on the street anymore.
Yeah, just, you know, there's no more Chinese translations to do.
You've done your time, and you're like, all right, I'm going to move on to the horizon as well.
Yeah, back to
new adventures for me.
Yeah, but old adventures, you know, back to where I came from, back to London.
Yeah, it's full circle, but you know, with new eyes.
Yes, with a new perspective on life.
Absolutely.
Yeah, how about you, George?
Well, as much as you say it's not going to happen, I will be doing Way to Dune Minute, the minute-by-minute breakdown of 1984's Dune. That's going to happen. That will be my next project. Neil, I might even have you on as a guest.
Yay! Well, the new one's coming out at some point, isn't it?
So at some point, yeah.
A little good touch point for, you know, popular culture.
Yep.
Yeah, seems like a lot of
my next project.
Oh, well, there you go. Official announcement. Now you can't take it back.
Yeah, there you go. Everyone here. No, I mean, it's in the works, but everyone there out there now knows my next project is Way to Dune Minute.
Right. And have you got new co-hosts since the last time?
I have a co-host squared away. Yep. Brilliant. It is going to be it's going to be good.
Right. Fantastic. Keep your eyes open for that, listeners.
Yes.
Maybe you can use the feed, like, just to do a little preview or something, George. So that the Mogwai
Minute listeners... Yeah, I might throw a sample or our pilot or whatever of that. I'll throw it on the feed. Just so the Mogwai listeners will see if they're interested.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah.
Why not?
Should be a good time.
Good luck to you.
Well, thank you.
To you, George, with
Thanks.
It.
I think it'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, it's a fun movie. It's a crazy movie.
It is a batshit movie.
How long is it? Absolutely. How many minutes?
It is over 200.
Oh, Jesus.
Wow. Yeah, I can't remember off the top of my head, but it is a lot of minutes. It's a lot longer than this one.
It's like both of these movies combined.
Basically, yeah.
Oof. Good luck to you.
Right. At least we're not doing the supposed uncut version, which is over 4 hours long.
Oh. Do you have access to that? Maybe you should.
Here's the thing. I don't want to, because that's not the one David Lynch wanted to do. He actually, for him, the director's cut is the one that got put out in theaters. And he hates the 4-hour version because he says he's not approved any of that. That was a fan edit.
All right. Okay. Right. Well, I can't do that then. It's going to be the official one.
Absolutely. It's got to be the one approved by but if we did that, then Star Wars Minute would be doing the special editions, which we don't want them to do that.
No, we don't want to do that. That's fine. We'll let those guys off. They deserve it. Well, welcome back to the listeners for one final episode of the Mogwai Minute. Minute 106. We've got a full minute of 106, and then we've got a little snippet of 107, but we're just going to shove them together. So welcome to minute 106 and 107. George, what is happening? Are you going to do two brackets here, or I don't know what you're going to do?
Nope, just going to do the one.
All right.
I'm going to push them all together.
You tell us what's happening at the start of minute 106 and the end of the stub period of 107 that we're talking about.
We open this minute with just a hint of that damn duck and close a minute and 26 seconds later with the blackness of unbeing.
Yes, we do.
Just dark screen, fade to black, the end.
as requested by Daffy himself. We'll get there.
Yes.
So on this set of the last set of credits here, we've got more of the music, and this is a strange one because there's six additional tracks here, and it says the following six recordings were provided by arrangement with Warner Special Products. Warner Special Products, in all caps. And there's six songs here, George, and I wanted to just play a little of the song, and then we'll try and figure out where in the movie each of these ones are.
Oh, a game.
Yeah, a little game, because we've only we'll know one of them, because there's only one that I recognize just from the names that we've actually talked about in the show. So let's you'd think going through this movie minute by minute, these would have all come up, you know, in the minute. So only one out of six has been mentioned by us on the show. So either we're not doing our job properly, or maybe they didn't make it in the movie and they just had to, for whatever reason, put it in the credits. I don't know. I don't know how it works. So the first one is called Bombers in the Sky, and it's performed by the Thompson Twins, one of my mum's old favorites, Thompson Twins. She used to like the Thompson Twins. So this is an interesting one, George, because I hadn't come across this. And actually, on YouTube, if you just YouTube like Bombers in the Sky by the Thompson Twins, this particular version comes up, and it's called, in brackets, Gremlins 2 version. Huh. And there's the music video is all just like a trailer for the movie. It's like just movie clips. And it runs you through the movie, and that is it. So here's I've skipped a little of the intro because it starts a little slowly, but here it is, George. I'll just play like 10, 20 seconds or something, and we'll see. Okay. We'll see what we think.
I have no idea what that's from.
that's not in the movie, is it?
I mean, it must be like one of those like little side bits they throw when there's mayhem going on. That seems like something that would happen. I don't know.
Like when the gremlins are just like locking around.
Yeah, just messing around, doing their thing. Maybe it's like background at the mall type thing.
It could be. I don't think, because I was trying to pay attention to those background mall ones, and the next one is from the background in the mall. We know this one because this is Tough Boy by Jasmine Guy, and we talked about this one back in
the where this one came from. Yeah,
the Froyo stand. We'll play a little of this one for the listeners anyway. But so here it goes. Good one, George. I like it.
It's good. It's good beat to it. It's
good pop beat, 80s feel, 80s vibe. Good on you, Jasmine. So that's definitely Froyo stand. The next one is called If You Could Read My Mind by Gordon Lightfoot. So here's a bit of If You Can Read My Mind by Gordon Lightfoot. Let's see where this one comes up. Very serious looking man on Gordon Light. Because this is one of the ones on YouTube where you just get the album the single cover.
Well, Gordon Light is a very serious man.
He's a pretty serious guy. Here it is.
If you could read my mind, love, what a tale my thoughts could tell. Just like an old time movie about a ghost from a wishing well in a castle dark. or a fortress strong with chains upon my feet. You know that ghost.
Okay. What? No, that is... Here's the thing is, like, I've heard that song in life, but I don't remember where it's from the movie.
It's like the least Gremlins 2 song that I could possibly think of.
Listeners, do you know where Gordon Lightfoot, If You Could Read My Mind, happened to be in the movie? Tune in. Let us know. Chime in, please.
I mean, how did it even, like, make it into the realm of thought for the people putting this movie together?
Maybe Joe Dante's a real big Gordon Lightfoot fan.
Like, ooh, I know what we need here. Bit of melancholy.
Yeah. Take it down a notch.
How bizarre. Okay, three more. The next one is called Damn Yankees, performed by Damn Yankees.
I'll have to bleep both of those, but okay.
Here's a bit of Damn Yankees. Bye. I think you get the idea on that one, George.
Yeah, that's pretty okay. Yeah. That's where the spider gremlin drinks the juice.
It's gotta be, yeah, spider gremlin. Yeah,
for our sure. Emergence of our friend.
Yeah, either yeah. So I mean, it could be either the drinking of the juice, or it could be when he comes around the corner to attack the girls. Or
I think though, around the corner is more of like a.
Was that the Slayer? Like
that's more score type stuff. I thought it was like dun dun da da. You know, the more tense. Goldsmith type things.
Well, what was the bit where we were talking with Jerry? Oh, that was this bit, right? This is when he drinks the juice. When we're talking to Jerry and it was just hard metal. Yeah. That's this. That must be this, right? We think. Who the hell knows? All right. The next one is called Touch Me. And it's performed by Private Life.
Pretty sure Jerry was a drummer with that band, right?
Private Life. What do you think about this one, George? Because I'm not so sure about this one.
That's got maybe more of like a 80s hair metal vibe.
Do you think this could be like maybe
a heavy bass session? And maybe I don't.
Could be Gizmo Torture Scene or.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe the photocopier.
Yeah, it's a really tough one to place that. Could be one of those, I think. That's what came to my mind anyway. That was Touch Me by Private Life. The next one, the final one, is Surprise! Exclamation mark. You're dead! Exclamation mark. By our friends at Faith No More.
Yeah.
So here we go. Here's a bit of Surprise! You're dead! By Faith No More. Well, I think we get the idea on that one, George.
Yeah, I do. I believe PTR mentioned the fact that he was like, we hadn't had that scene was coming up, and he was like, later on you get Faith No More, Surprise You're Dead. So he clued us into that one, but I think it was another one of those rampant gremlin montage Mogwai torture type deals.
Yeah,
and, you know, that whole like 20 minutes in the middle of the movie where it's just vignette after vignette of that sort of stuff.
Yeah, and that makes sense. You know, I think when you're thinking about Gremlin Chaos and what music to put in the background, Faith No More.
No, absolutely. And yeah. I was a big Faith No More fan in high school. I liked
it. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was never into that shit, George. It's too a bit too heavy for me.
Neil, I'm way more hard edge than you are, obviously.
Yes, that's definitely true. Definitely that's true, George. Well, that concludes the music section. I think we kind of broadly figured that out. And I think the ones that we couldn't figure out, I just don't think they're in the movie. I mean, I just can't imagine where Gordon...
I mean, that's one of those things where now that we hear them, we got to go back and, like, you know, at some point. Or if someone knows exactly where they are, please tell us. Because Gordon Lightfoot, I have no clue.
No, not sure. Not sure. Yeah, then we get... It would be remiss of us, George, to miss this next credit, which is based on characters created by Chris Columbus. And we want to say thank you to Chris Columbus.
You did a great job, Chris.
You did.
Thanks for coming up with some weird shit and adapting it and turning it into like this great property that is both frustrating but also greatly endearing.
Yeah. It's frustrating?
Well, you know, we've had our frustrated moments in Gremlins 2. First one was great. Second one, we had frustrating moments in the first one too.
Well, we did. Yeah.
Time frames and
Billy
things. Billy, Futterman.
Billy's frustrating. That's true.
Oh my god.
You got frustrated.
So there were frustrated moments.
You got frustrated more than me, I think, George.
I got frustrated with Mr. Futterman. You got frustrated with Gizmo. It was all there.
Well, that's true. Yeah, I was frustrated with Gizmo. Less so in this movie, but he's in this movie less. Everyone is in this movie less, apart from Mr. Futterman, who's in this movie more.
Yeah, it feels like, honestly, like collaboratively over the course of the movie, I feel like Daniel Clamp has more screen time than all the other mainstays.
Yeah, it's a good question. Who gets the most screen time? I guess. Yeah, Clamp. I mean, Forrester gets a lot of screen time.
Well, he gets it a good bit in the beginning, but then once things start to go awry, he vanishes for good chunks.
Yeah, most of the last third, he's just being hit on by Greta the Gremlin. He's fending off Greta for the most part.
Anyway. Lecherous advances.
For the most part. So yeah, well done, Chris Columbus. You're the reason we're here. If it wasn't for you... Neither George nor I would have this podcast.
Yeah, exactly. We'd have some other weird podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
West Side Story Minute.
And then we get the old Technicolor stuff and Dolby and all that kind of... Yeah, the mandatory, you know, the story names characters portrayed in this picture are fictitious. Yep. Not actual persons, places, buildings... no identification with actual persons, places, buildings, and products is intended or should be inferred. How does that work with the exterior shots of New York? I mean, that's pretty much intended.
I think they mean central things that get destroyed. I think the Pan Am building and, like, just laying the ground for, like, this is where we are. Like, establishing shots, that's fine. But I don't think they're trying to imply that they destroyed, you know, the World Trade Center or, you know, Sears Tower or, you know, something iconic that's in a city somewhere.
Yeah. Then we fade back to the kind of Warner Brothers cartoon closeout. So we kind of end where we begin. But this time it's not Bugs and Daffy. It's Porky Pig pops his head through the screen and gives us I like Porky Pig, George. He gives us this classic, that's all, folks. But he gets cut off halfway through by good old Daffy, spoiling the show one more time. What did he say? I forget here, George. What did he say?
Let me see.
It's like, what are you guys still doing here? Haven't you got homes to go to?
Yeah, yeah. That's what Daffy says.
Go all to this your kind homes. Of stuff. Yeah. And then he gets slammed by the credit for Chuck Jones, the final credit of the movie. Title animation written and directed by Chuck Jones on a Warner Brothers shield. And he gets whacked, Daffy. That's the very end of 106 and the very start of 107. Daffy kind of slides down behind him and he just goes, fade out. That's not.
And Daffy's he gets what he gets his wish. He gets his wish. We fade away.
And then we fade out.
And then that's it. Movie's over.
That's it. Well, we get the Amblin logo and then we get the the Warner Brothers shield, and then we fade to black. That's it. What do you want to? Anything else you want to talk about, George? Anything else we need to?
As far as the movie is concerned, no. I mean,
pretty much done. I feel like we didn't get the right level of closure on our main characters.
Well, no, because they just walked away to go, I don't know, get a hamburger with the Gizmo Mogwai Gizmo in a box, and that's it. That's it. There was no, like, you know, we had no moral... I mean, I guess we were getting moral lessons on, you know, big corporations at that whole last few minutes, but, like, you know, we didn't get, like, the moment of, you know, grandfather giving, like, the whole, you're not ready, and... Mm-hmm. And walking away, and, you know, we didn't get, like, the whole Rand Peltzer, like, well, if you ever, you know, that, like, little coda that's, like, just a nice little button on everything.
Yeah, and I even like that kind of closing shot of Gremlins, where you see them, well, not the very closing shot, but, well, the closing shot of the characters, we see them in the doorway, kind of all kind of huddled together, with Grandad walking off with Gizmo into the camera. And I like that, that's a nice closeout shot, it's nicely framed. There's the family in the kind of homestead, and Grandad's taking the Mogwai away, and then you get the kind of walk into the matte painting, with the voiceover, and that's a really nice way to end the movie, and it feels like you get closure in that movie. But then this one, I just don't feel like you get closure in this movie.
Yeah, maybe it's not really supposed to meant to have closure, because it's a different product of the concept of commercialism and big Hollywood having their hands in a sequel type thing, thumbing your nose at it. So the concept is more like, well, yep, you got what you paid for. Okay, we're going to go cash your checks now. Bye.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe that's right. Well, so that's my take. I mean, we should also kind of maybe mention this latest news, George, about the Gremlins.
With the animated series?
Yeah. That just broke. I just read about that this morning.
Good time. Yeah, that's been posted. We got our friend Mark O'Connell, who we just recorded with last week, tweeted us an article on the concept of the cartoon show.
Yeah, and then I think it was Jonathan Parker put it on there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, someone posted it on our Facebook group. Thanks, yeah, John. So that's on the horizon, where there will be an animated series. As of right now, tentatively following the exploits of young grandfather and Gizmo. I hope it's like a kung fu type thing where they go to small towns and and right wrongs and do their thing and are beset by ruffians and then figure their way out. I hope there's some kung fu involved. That'd be great.
Well, I hope there's a lot of mysticism involved and, you know, that along the lines of kind of... well, I really liked Avatar, the cartoon. So I just want kind of mystical things... going on, and I can see kind of like a Big Trouble in Little China mystic element to it, with grandfather kind of, you know, pulling out some moves and such, and learning the mystic ways. And who knows, we might get some backstory on where they came from and all that kind of stuff,
and maybe it won't be from outer space,
maybe not. So I'm on board for this, George, and I'm on record on the show saying that I was always curious as to why there was never a Gremlins cartoon. It made perfect sense to me to have one in the 80s.
I think that's
90s.
A regular question. People have asked that, especially since the announcement of this. And they're like, why was there never a Gremlins cartoon? Especially back in the 80s when they seemed to make a cartoon for everything. I mean, Kid Video. Have you watched Kid Video ever?
No.
Do you remember that one?
Don't remember that one.
It was about the weird synthesizer band who was practicing in the garage and got sucked through a mirror into another dimension. And they had this giant yellow flying car, and they played musical instruments but also had superpowers or something like that. I don't know. They made a cartoon of that, and that was a regular Saturday morning thing. And we didn't get a Gremlins cartoon.
The only music one I remember was Jem and the Holograms.
Jem
was great. Yeah, so I'm on board for this, George, and I like the place setting. I like that it's not, you know, following on from Gremlins 2.
More Peltzers.
Because,
I mean, you just can't do that formula to so many times. Yeah, it's like, okay, well, my great Gizmo gets wet. Gremlins get crazy. They turn. Blah, blah, blah. They get killed. Start over again.
Yeah. So this adds a nice setting and a nice concept that they can work with. And then we'll
It's really funny as entrenched as this franchise happens to be in the pop culture, as far as that goes, there's been very little to no world building around it other than the actual movies that exist. Meanwhile, you have Star Wars has had hundreds of books written about the most minute characters. There's weird backstories for everybody involving in like Blade Runner and Ghostbusters. And there's just more stuff where there's all these like properties that have generated more stuff. Whereas Gremlins, you get what you get in the movies and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's strange. No one even did like a comic book or anything.
What happened to Pete?
As far as I know. Pete Fontaine. Yeah.
Yeah. Did he grow up and stay in the tree business, or did he move on and do other things?
Well, he moved to Santa Cruz, didn't he? And fought vampires.
Yeah. I guess he had to move on to other things.
Yeah.
And then we had the Breaking Bad connection. So I guess what happens is this movie just spawned all these other things.
Yeah. Literally spawned a lot of other things.
Spawned, yeah.
Well, why don't we see how this cartoon goes, George, and then maybe we come back and talk about it. Sometime in the future.
I think it's a very valid assessment. If it's good, if it's really good, I think it's a good thing. If it's terrible, I maybe will do like an episode on it. Be like, okay, here's the cartoon show in a nutshell. This is the thing. This is why it's terrible. That sort of thing.
Well, yeah, we'll see. But we'll leave our
options open based on quality of the project.
But what, one way or another, we'll be back to talk about it at some point and for a period of time. How about that? We'll talk about it, come what may, and we'll see how long we want to talk about it based on if it's any good or not.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, in the meantime, I don't know. Who knows when this is coming out, George? Apparently, it's coming out on something called Warner Media, which is
We're gonna wind up with streaming wars, just like we had the fast food wars and Demolition Man and whichever the Taco Bell equivalent of the streaming services is going to come out on top.
Oh, it's just getting ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, how many subscriptions do I need to pay for?
Well, that's the thing. By the time you get all the streaming services, you'll be paying more than you would for cable initially.
Yeah, exactly. It's just ridiculous.
Which is ridiculous.
So I don't know how we're going to get this, George, but we'll dig it out somewhere. We'll watch it. And we'll come back and talk to the good listeners about it. And in the meantime, who knows what's going to pop up on your feed. But keep it open, folks. Keep it on your podcatchers, and you never know. We'll maybe throw a. Who knows?
Something. Yeah. And if you are all caught up and current on our show as of this episode, bless you. That is a hell of a run you have endured, and that is amazing. And thank you. If you are not, you have plenty of time now to go back and get caught up.
Yeah, absolutely. Run through it all again. Listen to it all again.
We want to thank all of our listeners. You guys have been fantastic. All our contributors in the Facebook group, all the people who have emailed us, the people who have sent us things. You're just wonderful, beautiful people. All of our guests who have taken time out of their schedules to come in and talk all about this crazy movie, both new and returning in either movie. You've just been fabulous. Thank you for your time. I mean, it's the greatest gift you can give somebody. So yeah, thanks to everybody who has helped and made this show what it is.
Absolutely. I echo that, George, with all of my heart. Thank you very much to everyone, and mostly to the listeners, because we love you guys. That's why
we probably would not have kept doing this if we didn't have listeners. We'll be perfectly honest.
That's probably true.
20 episodes into the first one, we got nobody. We're like, all right, well, let's give it 10 more and see what happens. Yeah, we'll see what happens. But no, we have a great listener base, and you guys are fantastic.
Yeah, so with that, we shall say adieu and depart from your ear holes for one final time.
Yep.
Right here on... Are you going to do it this time, George?
Maybe. We'll see.
Right here on the Mogwai.
Mogwai! Just kidding.
Mogwai Minute. Oh, you did do it, George.
I did do it.